You may be seated. The choir is going to stay where they are today. There's going to be a lot more praise. We'll have the Lord's Supper together in just a moment. We want to look at, if you open up the Word to Luke 2. And if you've been with us the last couple of weeks, you know we're heavy, but if you're a guest with us today or you haven't been in a couple of weeks, what we're doing as a church is that we are digging into the Great Commission. And we've spent all of last year looking specifically at Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. But we looked at the spot, the imperative of make disciples. As a matter of fact, today in the I was rereading my bulletin note, and I put the different imperatives that Christ gives us. Go. Go wasn't quite the imperative. But the imperative in that was make disciples. So all of 2017, we explored what does it mean to be a disciple of Christ and what does it mean to make disciples? How do we go about doing that? And so so we did that, and then this year we're looking at that part in Matthew 28:20, and I've laid the foundation of that the last 2 weeks, looking specifically at what does it mean to teach, teaching them all that to observe all that I have commanded you, and so how we decided to do that is to explore the life of Jesus Christ, and we're going through the four Gospels in a chronological way, and through the Christmas time we explored the babyhood of Christ, but when the conception and the birth, and we through Christmas time, we looked very detailed. We looked at how the Magi came. We looked at how important that was, and the different things that we could grasp from there. And so today is the first day we've laid the foundation of why what we teach and why we teach, and the purpose of His commandments. And how we're all responsible to be a people who teach. It's not the spiritual gift of teaching that we're talking about here, but it's talking about the influence that we all have in life. I read this week, it was something by John Maxwell, and as a matter of fact, that's how I started my bulletin note, not with this statement, but a part in that reading that I read is that even an introverted person influences 10,000 people in their lifetime. Imagine that. If you're an introverted person, that you are influencing people in your life, especially if you're just by the way you act, the way you talk, the way you treat people. That influence can be for good, and that influence can be for bad as well. But we are always influencing. We are teaching people through the way we live our life. We looked at the different synonyms of what it means to be to be a teacher, and it's literally just somebody who is influencing people. And so that's what the foundation of what we're doing and why we're doing. So today we jump into the life of Christ. And we left off around before the new year out of Luke 2, and we'll be in Luke 2 again. So if you join me today in Luke 2, verse 41. And what's interesting about Luke 2 is that there is literally like almost 13 years of history there. And there's a lot going on. And today we start off, as we'll see in Scripture, when Jesus was 12. And let's pray. Father in heaven, it is our desire to come into your presence. It is our desire to remember you. It is our desire to glorify your name. And I pray that you'd open up our eyes, our hearts, our minds, Lord, to understand what you have for us today through your Holy Spirit and through your Holy Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's read, starting in verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. And when he became 12, talking about Jesus Christ here, when Jesus became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast. And as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it. but supposed him to be in the caravan, and went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So here we see something. Now, did Jesus sin? Was he disobedient to his parents? Did he run away? Absolutely not. We that is not the case of what happened here. We see first of background of what's happening here. We see it's the Passover time. We know that is one of the three main feasts where the Jewish men they had to go back to the temple and they had to worship. It was the younger children and Mary did not have to go, but we see that they were a very devout Jewish family and they went. They were not required to stay the whole 7 days, but because they were devout, they did. They stayed the whole time. And we see that Jesus here was 12. That is a in the Jewish culture, that is when a boy and a girl too, I think girl is 12 or 13, but is whenever they move from childhood and they become responsible for their own actions. They and we see here that Jesus is beginning to take responsibility for his own destiny. He's realizing who he is, as we see here, as Mary said, you know, you've caused your father and I, you know, anxiety. And here the one who would later teach, "Be anxious for nothing," says, "Don't you know that I had to be about my father's house?" Or depending on your translation, "My father's business." So here in the, we see a separation of Jesus realizing who his father is. But see, the custom of the feast, we talked about all males were to attend this feast, full number of days. And then the temple, they were in a place that represented God's presence. We see that it began way back in the tabernacle when Moses in Exodus, where they're going, and they had a place of God's presence, the Ark of the Covenant. Then we see that Solomon built a temple. We see the Holy Spirit filled that temple. In a place where the priests couldn't do their jobs. We know there was smoke, there was fire. It was amazing. We do know in Ezekiel 10, because of their disobedience and the evil of the people, we know that that his spirit left, and we know that by God's direction, when they came out of captivity, that men like Zerubbabel and Nehemiah, which Nehemiah didn't actually build the temple, but then Ezra, but all those men came to rebuild, which resulted into the Jerusalem that Jesus is in today. And we knew know that they prophesied about God's glory is in the temple. And then what's neat too, we know that Jesus was the real temple to come. So here we find that all this going on in the midst of this historical account of the child Jesus entering into manhood, what they would consider, again, that responsibility, sons of commandments. That's bar mitzvah. That's what that means. Not saying that Jesus went through his bar mitzvah. There's a lot of tradition in that. But he was at that point where he was coming responsible. Again, I've already said that. But can you imagine? Can you imagine being Mary and Joseph? First, just the preparation. Every year, you know that you're going to this place that was like a 5-day walk. And different people say different things. As a crow's flies, this goes, you know, we really don't know, but roughly, historically, it was about a 5-day walk. And so here, Mary and Joseph, they're planning, they're saving, they're preparing. Joseph is building. He was a carpenter, and he's bartering, and they're getting food for this journey. It's not like there was there may have been inns in different places. They could have been camping, not our kind of camping, but they were going to Jerusalem in a way that was ancient, a way that their travel was not like ours today. It was hard. Everything they had to carry. There wasn't going to be a Walmart on the way. I imagine there were traders. There was people that they could buy things from. This was a big deal. It wasn't just Joseph and Mary. It was the Israelite nation that were coming and coming into Jerusalem. And so there was chaos. They're going from an agrarian culture of a farming town, and they were coming into like Atlanta, you know, at rush hour. And so it was just a crazy time. Just imagine what they were going through. And now Jesus was not Mary's only son. At this time, we know there was brothers and sisters. We see in Matthew 13 that Jesus had brothers and sisters. And so just imagine if you could get into what's going on here. Here they're preparing. They're getting camels or donkeys or whatever they may have had. They're having a plan with relatives and friends and neighbors about getting into the caravan because it was dangerous to travel. There was robbers. And so they didn't have texting. They didn't have emails. They didn't have any of this. And here they're trying to prepare this to get to this place, and then finally they arrive, and it's just, and they again, this, imagine the chaos in this urban area where all of Israel has come, and the men are there, some with their families, some with their children, and everybody trying to eat, trying to live, trying to worship, trying to pray, trying to do all the things. Oh, it was chaos. It was a time of, it was crazy. And they spent 7 days, it says, the full time there. And they did all the, you know, all the requirements of the temple. And now it was time for their return home. I mean, all this had been going on. I mean, and now time for their return home. They got to see what time the caravan's leaving. And that's not the Dodge. I mean, that is, you know, people walking on foot. Again, maybe camels, maybe mules, maybe different things. So here they're trying to figure all this out. They're living in all this different situation. Got other children trying to feed them, trying to keep up with the money, get all the supplies. And now they're return home. They're preparing for sleeping on the way. Do they have enough food? Do they have enough water? And again, they don't want to get left because there's safety in numbers. Then finally, they're going. Imagine when they're going out of there, it was just crazy. Just imagine this. What's going on? If you can just get yourself in the ancient Jerusalem type of picture here. And they're going out. There's some caravans and people that are moving faster, and there's some that are that are moving slower. And finally, they get out of the city towards the end of the day, and those that are moving faster are ahead. Those who are moving slower are behind, and the pace begins to settle. And then they begin to look around. We're missing one. We're missing one. Where is Jesus? And they go around, they're asking neighbors, they're asking family, they're asking the acquaintances, is what Scripture said, and they're missing Jesus. Can you imagine missing any of your children? Maybe that's happened to you before. Maybe it was in the mall or the shopping center or somewhere, and you've lost a child. You've left a child behind. Now imagine leaving Jesus. And now it's one thing to whip around in the Dodge caravan, but you don't whip around the ancient caravan. You have to leave the safety of numbers and go back. And what do they do with their other children? Do they take them? What about preparations? Now they need more. Will they have enough? Can you imagine the emotions of what they're going through? Let's reread 46 and 50. And it says, then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. They were astonished. He was sitting around like talking to doctors, to experts. I mean, this was like a big deal. And but then his mother said to him, listen to this. Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. Mary, I imagine there was some emotion in her voice. Maybe she was upset. She was fearful. She was excited. I imagine there's tears involved. And then listen to how he replies. And he said to them, why is it that you were looking for me? did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house? When I read this, when I was studying this, here she came. Hear this boy, Jesus. It's like he said, do you remember who I am? Do you remember who I am? Do you remember all that was said about me? Do you remember who I am? This boy, Jesus, here in just a couple decades in the same temple that he would be clearing out the money changers. He would be teaching. He would be challenged by leaders. His life would be threatened, and then close by he would be tried unfairly and even crucified. In verse 48, it says, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you. I mean, she tells this to the man, literally, that would be saying in Matthew 6, not in this temple, as taught in the the Sermon on the Mount, but to be anxious. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. So here she comes, and as I read that, I was like, don't you remember who I am? Why would you not know that I would not be in my Father's house? Don't you remember? Well, let's remember too what has happened here, that over a decade has passed. That and it started back in, and we think it's like zero, but it's really about 5 BC. She was had conception with Jesus miraculously. Jesus were probably born more about 4 BC. So here here they experience all this, the baby, angels speaking, shepherds coming and praising. We see miracles happening. We see wise men coming. We see dreams. Joseph experienced dreams that led him from out of Bethlehem, or first to take her as his wife, and then dreams to get out of Bethlehem, go to Egypt, and then to come back. That all took place in a several month period, and then here they enter back all this great revival, God miracle time. I mean, imagine it. Angels speaking, God speaking to you in the dreams, and this revival time. And now, as far as we can see in the history of Scripture, is that there's been a decade of silence. There's been a decade of silence. Now other children are born, and the babies, they got other brothers and sisters, life's happening. There is the drudgery of every day. Times are hard. It's politically oppressed. There's taxes. And you know that Jesus is important, but you know, you just take care of him. He gets in line with the rest of them, and he probably even helps out with the younger ones. And so you come all this, and life is just life again. Not that we don't love God, not that they don't love him and know who he is, and not that they purposely left him behind, but then they just kind of forgot who he was. Didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? And remember, it's Passover. And did they realize that they were going to be, they were looking for the one who would become the Passover lamb? And what is Passover even about, if you remember? Passover, the purpose of this feast was to help them remember who God is. We find in Exodus 12:13 that the Passover was to remind the people of God's deliverance. And so the Passover lamb, here they come, and they have forgotten Jesus. They have left him there. Imagine all that. Imagine the chaos. We can understand in ancient times, ancient history, and we can just peer into that a little bit. But what about us today? What about us today? I mean, really, we're no different than Mary and Joseph. I mean, obviously, there was something pretty awesome about them that God would want to use them. But it wasn't their strength. It wasn't maybe their character and their being devout to God. And God said, hey, there's some people that I can use and I can do great things through. And but in the same sense that life gets busy. There was a time in our life where maybe it was at our salvation. Maybe it was a time that we rededicated our lives to Christ. Maybe there was a time of just God did something miraculous in our life, opened up our eyes to something, our ears to something. Maybe it was after we started reading the Bible for the first time, or maybe it was some special service, or just something has happened to where we were on fire for the Lord. But then life got busy. Things in our life started pressing, trying to balance life, family, marriage, work, activities, church, neighborhood, finances, bills, future plans, issues in the world. Sound familiar? Illnesses. And then we get to a place and we begin to wonder, where is Jesus in all of this? And then we begin to cry out, where are you, Lord? And even kind of like Mary said, you know, why have you done this to us? Like it was Jesus's fault that he wasn't where he was supposed to be. I mean, even on his human side, he was 12. And on his divine side, he was God. Like it was his fault. And then our lives get anxious, we get busy, we do all this, we're pouring into this. We're now working 24/7, sometimes 25/8, and we're pouring our life out of things. And then we get to a place and we're like, oh, Jesus, where are you? Like it's his fault that he's not there. Do you remember who I am? He's always, and we learn this when we cry out and we pay attention, he is always where we left him, always where he's supposed to be, always in the presence of his Father. As the hymn goes from Come Thou Fount, we are a people who are prone to wander. We're a people who are prone to forget. Am I saying we've lost our salvation? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about life has gotten heavy. Life has gotten thick. Life has gone on and we go on ahead and we get into a pickle and we wonder where Jesus is. Oh, don't you remember? Don't you remember? So how do we remember? Well, some of the things that I'm going to read a couple psalms. That's not a question that I can answer in the time that we have today. But one that way that we remember is we're going to read some psalms. But I think let's read first, before I start yakking, we'll just read psalms. We're going to read Psalms 77, Psalms 143. It's not going to be on the board. And then we're going to read Psalms 9. And know that Jesus, the four books that he quoted the most, Psalms was the first one, then Deuteronomy, then Isaiah, and then Exodus. So I thought it was appropriate today to see some psalms. How can we remember him? Psalm 77, verses 11 and 12. Listen to this. The psalmist writes, I shall remember the deeds of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old, and I will meditate on your work and muse on your deeds. That word muse is to think about. It is something, an active pursuit, an active mental pursuit, an active discipline of remembering the Lord. Then in Psalms 143, and write these down. Today there's no points. It's a different day, and it's different on purpose. And verse 143, verses 5 and 6, he says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doing. And again, there's a word. I muse on the work of your hands. And it says, I stretch out my hands to you, and my soul longs for you as a parched land. And Selah. So we see there's this active pursuit of meditating, of setting time aside, almost a Sabbath. Imagine that, a Sabbath, a time that I've set aside from pursuing me, a time I've set aside from my own work, and a time that I've set aside for the purpose of remembering what the Lord has done for me. This meditation doesn't happen on accident. This meditation comes where we get alone, we get away from the kids, we get away from the work, we get away from the TV, from the radio, from all those things, and say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. And I just remember you. And we begin to think about the things. Maybe it's a scripture. Maybe it's a prayer. But we meditate on the things of God. And then again, this muse, all of this, it's a discipline. It's a discipline of loving God. It's a discipline of pursuing him. It's the discipline of seeking him each and every day. And not a month goes by that you don't hear me talk, maybe not even a week, that you hear me talk about reading the Word. about praying. What do we raising their hands? Just hey, okay, let's think about Jesus and let's, you know, let's raise our hands. No, they're raising their hands. There's surrender. There's praise, and that's the way that the men would pray. The men would pray. They would raise their hands before the Lord, and they would pray and they would praise Him. They would thank Him, and they would. And again, it was a discipline. Those things don't happen by accident. Oh, journal. That's a good thing, just to write those things down. Nowhere does it say, thou shalt write everything down that I say, but it's not a bad thing. It's good. It helps you remember. It's a discipline that helps us remember the Lord. And then sharing with others, and sharing through praise. Praise the Lord for what He's done for me. Let me share with you. And then let's read Psalms 9. And this will be where we'll wrap up this passage, just part of the service today. Psalms 9, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. This really helps us get to, for a people who are prone to forget. If you're like me, you're prone to forget. You're prone to wander. I say, Lord, chain me to you and take out the links to draw me even closer. And it says, in Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, he says, I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. I know I'm not done. I mean, just hit me. Think about that. I give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. When is the last time that we've given thanks to the Lord with all our heart? I have yet to witness it. I struggle with that. I give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. That doesn't happen in the midst of the chaos of life. That is a time when we set aside a time and say, Lord, let me just praise you. And we go through and we thank. I shared this one of the greatest prayer meetings that I used to meet with a group of men and the guy that was supposed to bring the word that day. Wherever he was sick, he couldn't come or something. And so there's a gentleman, a man who poured into my life. His name is Doug Bowling. If you know him, tell him I said, hey, I don't know where he is today, but he moved up to Birmingham. But and he said, well, let's just circle around. There's like four of us guys there. And it said, let's just thank the Lord. Let's just say, go around and we'll say a prayer of just thank you, Lord. You know, the first couple rounds was pretty easy. You know, thank you, Lord, for my wife. You know, thank you for my health. Thank you for my job. Thank you for this. And then it got deep. And then it just opened up, and God was there. I tell you, there is remembering Him in our thanksgiving. But let's finish this passage. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart. And then he says, listen to this. This is something that we struggle to. And I will tell of all of your wonders. I will tell. That means I will share. I'll share the good things you're doing in my life. I will tell of other people. I'll tell other people about you. And verse 2, and I will be glad and exult in you, and I will sing praise to your name. So we've given some practical examples from Psalms and that we see how can we get to a place where we are not a people who forget the Lord. We meditate on Him. We meditate on His word. We meditate and we remember what He has done for us. We give thanks to Him with all of our heart. We tell other people about His word. We sing. We sing songs to Him. But Lonnie, I'm not a singer. I'm not either, but there is a place where I get and I have a song. I have about my songs to the Lord. I didn't write them. They're just, the first one is I usually start off with, and I did it Thursday. Thursday, I came in here and I walked around here for about an hour just praying. And boy, my mind was going, a lot of junk going on and just chaos. And before I could even pray, I just walked around and I just sang. And I won't sing to you to help you out. But as I said, oh God, you are my God. And I will forever praise you. Oh God, you are my God. And there was nobody here. And I sang loud. And guess what? It sounded good because it was echoing through here. And it wasn't about sounding good. I was praising Him with all my heart. Oh, forgetting Jesus. Mary and Joseph, they didn't do anything bad. Jesus didn't do anything bad. It's just a reflection, though, of how we can get so busy in life. and we can go on and we can get ahead of Jesus and we can get ourselves involved in something and we totally don't bring him with us. It can happen to all of us. Again, today is a different sermon. And for those of you that like points, I didn't even put points in the bulletin note. But if you want points, remember who he is. Remember why he came. Remember the miracles of your life. And you're like, what miracles? What about salvation? Amen. Remember the day that you were saved. Remember the day that you rededicated your life to him. Remember the miracles in your life when he inspired something, whether it was from you reading the word, whether it's from a sermon or from a discussion that you had with somebody. Remember the miracles of inspiration that have happened in your life. Maybe there was a true miracle. Remember it. Remember it. And then remember the examples of Jesus Christ. And we'll be talking about that more together. Let us pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we are a people. And Lord, I say this with my own confession, Lord, that we are a people who can get so busy. And Lord, even in just in the good things of life, in the minutiae of life, that we can go on ahead and we can leave you behind. And then, Lord, we get into a desperate place, and when we pray as if it like you left us, Lord. Thank you, God, that you're always there. Even no matter how far we've gone away, all we have to do is confess and repent, which is to turn around, and you are always there for us. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your patience, Lord, that you have with us. Father, help us remember you.